Tim Ferriss, the number one New York Times bestselling author, has written a new book. It's called The Tools of Titans. In it, he shares the tactics, the routines, the habits of billionaires, of icons, of world-class performers. Now, wouldn't it be great to understand those? Wouldn't it be great to emulate them? Well, you could read this great book, but that's well over 700 pages long. Or, instead, you may enjoy my chat today with Mark Creedon, founder of Business Accelerator Mastermind, who's going to share the top seven lessons he got from this book in this month's Build a Business, Not a Job podcast. But don't worry if you're not in business, or if you're planning to get into business. The lessons we're going to chat about today are going to be relevant for everybody, and particularly if you're keen to succeed in life, whether it's in your career, in investments, your profession, or in business. So, welcome to today's podcast.
Welcome to the Michael Yardney Podcast, where twice each week you will learn a number of new ideas regarding success, property investment, and money in around 30 minutes. Our show is brought to you by Metropole, who specialize in helping you grow, protect, and pass on your wealth through strategic property and wealth advice. Now, here's your host, Michael Yardney, Australia's authority in wealth creation through property, who has been voted one of Australia's top 50 most influential thought leaders.
In his epic book, Tools of Titans, Tim Ferriss shares the habits and beliefs of 101 people at the top of their game. It included tech investors, entrepreneurs, superhuman athletes, media figures, and more. These are the principles that successful people used to achieve audacious goals, improve themselves, and be happier. And Tim's premise was that you can also apply the lessons from this book, and that means you can become more successful too. But rather than reading the whopping 707 pages, I'm going to ask Mark Creedon, founder of Business Accelerator Mastermind and business coach to some of Australia's top business people and entrepreneurs, I'm going to ask Mark to unpack a number of the lessons for us. Welcome, Mark.
Hello, Michael. Good to be here.
Well, Mark, Tim Ferriss arguably has got the most successful podcast, more successful than yours and mine about business, and he's interviewed some really leading experts in for his Tim Ferriss Show, and his book distills the wisdom that he's learned from many of his guests. There are so many lessons we can learn from them, but let's have a look at some of the ones that stood out the most for you.
Yeah, it's a great book, and there's lots of lessons to learn from Tim. But I think the first thing that sprung to mind for me when I was reading it that stood out was the concept that you are the average of the five people you most associate with. And it's something that you and I talk about quite regularly, Michael.
Well, you shouldn't really underestimate the benefit of being around a good crowd of people. But I think what some people do underestimate, Mark, is the detrimental effect that your pessimistic or your unambitious friends have on you.
If somebody isn't making you stronger, they're probably making you weaker. In fact, Tim Ferriss has this great saying where he says, giving your time and energy to negative people is just masochistic, which was a really interesting take. But when you stop and think about it, it's very true. So I suppose, Michael, it's a matter of stopping, have a look at the five people that you most associate with and ask yourself this question. Are they building you up? Are they optimistic? Do they celebrate your success? And do they motivate you or drive you to even higher levels of achievement?
Well, only yesterday I was having a chat with my son, Bryson, who, you know, is one of the directors of Metropolitan we all work closely with. And as a millennial, he's got some interesting thoughts and ideas too. And he was surprised at how negative the media is, how easy it is on social media to become negative. And they're the ones that get the most clicks and the most clickbait. So it's not only the people that you deal with day to day, but what you choose to learn, what you choose to read. And he was surprised at how much of an effect this does have on our attitude and our way of life. I mean, currently with COVID, there's all the negative things. If you look hard, actually, you don't even have to look hard. It's not hard to find negative things, is it?
No, it isn't. And you know, Michael, I've been speaking to quite a number of our members over the last few days who are struggling with border closures and lockdowns, and the uncertainty, I think, is the biggest thing that they're struggling with. But when we talk to them and we say, well, hang on a second, that's all the negative stuff. Let's just stop for a minute and have a look at what are the things that are working? What are the things that we can be grateful for, either in our personal life or in our business life? And in fact, I spoke to one of our members yesterday who you know quite well. And, you know, when I was talking to Simon, we stopped and we just quickly spent 5 minutes making a quick list of all the wins that he's had in the last 30 days. And in fact, there was a whole heap of them. But he'd forgotten about them because everybody around him was talking about all of the negative activity that's happening in out in the marketplace at the moment.
That's an interesting thought, because without giving a surname, he's in the travel industry. So I know the clients of Business Accelerator, Mastermind, some high net worth professionals, some big entrepreneurs, but some business people, high street business people in the suburbs. And boy, has he got the right to be negative being in the travel industry. But on the other hand, having the right people around him and people who motivate and talk positive things rather than negative things, you'll find good things. And you're right. He and his wife have had some great wins, haven't they? But that's being around good friends, but also having a good network, a mastermind team.
Yeah, it is. And I think that it's about having a network of different people for different reasons. So one of the things that Tim says in his book is that the list of your five people is probably going to be constantly changing. And it sort of depends on the area of life that you're looking to change. So whether it's work life, financial life, emotional life, you know, personal life, your physical life. And so, you know, if you want to improve your physical life, you might hang out with people who are really into going to the gym and being fit and healthy. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're the people that you might hang out with if you're talking about business success or financial success.
That's a really great way of looking at that lesson, Mark. I guess you recognize that the people I hang around with don't wear Lycra and don't ride bikes on the weekend.
Michael, that's a good thing. No man over 40 should wear Lycra, really.
That's right. But I think the point is, be careful who you spend your time with, whose lessons you listen to. I do remember a number of years ago when I was seeing clients, I was really impressed by this young investor who was a tradesperson. I can't remember, he may have been a carpenter, he may have been a brickie, and he lived in Melbourne's western suburbs. And he went to the pub after work, and his mates would say to him, "Why are you investing? Oh, look at my great ute. Look what I've bought. Look at the trailer I've bought." And he was investing in property, and he was questioning his thoughts. And I said, "That's because of the people you hang around with. If you were living on this side of the Yarra and you went to the pubs in Brighton here after work, they'd be talking about their share portfolio. They'd be talking about their property portfolio. They'd be talking about their aspirations." So we're not saying dump your friends. We're just saying, be careful who your inner circle is, and it may have to change.
Yeah, and it may vary from time to time, as I said, depending on what area of your life you're working on. But that's a great lesson that I got out of Tim's book.
Okay, let's go with another one then.
So this one really resonated as well, and it's the concept of don't wait until you're ready. And I was actually having this conversation with one of our mastermind members just the other day. We were talking about his desire to have everything perfect before he launched a new program. Carl Bryan often says this, that, you know, reasons come first, answers come second. So sometimes you actually need, if you've got a good reason to do something, you know, waiting for the timing to be perfect, it may actually never be perfect, Michael.
That's interesting. It's got to do with business. It's got to do with investments. It's even got to do with relationships, hasn't it?
Well, it has. Tony Robbins has got this great quote, Michael, where he says, "Someday is a disease that'll take your dreams to the grave with you." So the stars will never align. All the traffic lights will never be green at the same time. Sometimes you just have to make the right decision, the hard decision sometimes. But if you sit around waiting for the perfect timing, I mean, Michael, in property, how many times have you heard people say, "Oh, I'm going to wait for the peak of the market or the bottom of the market"? And what are those people doing, by the way?
Yeah, they're still waiting, aren't
still
they?
Waiting.
But interestingly, I've seen it in our joint business, Business Accelerator Mastermind, where people say, "Oh, that's okay. I'll engage a coach to help me when I'm ready." Mark, they never seem to be ready.
No, they don't. Tony Robbins, again, has a great quote on this, Michael. He says, you know, people say, "Oh, look, I'll hire a coach when I'm ready." And his response to that is, "You'll never be ready. Hire a coach now, the business will appear, and then you'll actually have someone to help you."
Funny about that, isn't it? So I guess what you're saying is that it'll never always be perfect. You've got to have an, so we're not saying jump in and do things without forethought, without having the ability to have a fallback position, without having done the level of research, whether we're talking about investments or business or a new division or project in your business. But I know you and I, in our joint businesses, and we are partners in a number of businesses, actually do that and then get going. And we learn the rest along the way, knowing that you don't need to know at all. You just need to know enough to get moving.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, making those changes and even some of the things that we've done together can be a bit daunting. But if we know the situation is never going to be perfect, then we just have to accept that we're going to get started, we're going to make some mistakes, but we're going to adjust it as we go. And the advantage of adjusting it as we go is we're learning from those mistakes, but we're still progressing as opposed to, you know, constantly fine-tuning the engine until it's humming along nicely, but never, ever moving away from the start line.
That's one of the trouble I think more analytical people have. And to be blunt, even intelligent people, they want to have everything all lined up correctly. It just doesn't work that way. But I also see that's one of the reasons having a tribe of people around you, a group of people around you, like we have, you're my business coach, apart from my good friend and my business partner and the clients of Business Accelerator Mastermind, they've basically got a tribe of people around them supporting them, giving them access to a wider range of thoughts and also giving them a level of accountability.
Yeah, it does. It's that shared wisdom, but the collective momentum that comes from being a part of a group. So you get individual accountability, collective momentum, and then that shared wisdom as well, Michael.
Well, we've said a few things ourselves, our own clever quotes. If you're the smartest person in your team, you're in trouble. And the other one, you know, we like saying is something along the lines of, on my own, I can run faster, but together we can run further. Now, I'm not sure if that's particularly true physically running, but metaphorically it's true, Mark.
I won't challenge you to a foot race, Michael.
Well, you go to the gym more than I do.
Yeah, I'm still not a good runner, don't worry. The third lesson that I got out of Tim's book, Michael, was to be the best at one thing. And he had this great quote where he said, dabbling is for poor people, whereas focusing on one thing at a time and being great at it is the fastest way to scale your business. And I think it might have been you that shared this with me, the quote from Bruce Lee that said, you know, he didn't fear the man who knew 1,000 kicks, but the man who knew one kick and practiced it 1,000 times.
Oh, very much so. So whether it's in business or in property investing, you're never going to be an expert by doing 100 things once or 1,000 things once. You've got to do one thing 100 times, and that's how you become an expert. So find a niche, focus on something that you're good at in your business, in your investing, in your career, and work on that.
Michael, we certainly see it in business, and I know you see it in property and in investment and just sort of successful thinking generally, that, you know, people have a successful product or service, something is working really well, and then they have this sort of, you know, I don't know where it comes from, out of left field thinking, I've got a really good idea, it's working well, I'm going to add a whole bunch of things to it, or I'm going to pivot and do something completely different, as opposed to just staying focused on the one thing that's working, constantly building it, getting polished it, and then adding features to it that actually add value.
Mark, I've found that dealing with clients at Business Accelerator Mastermind or people that I've come across who in sales, for example, all of a sudden they have a slump. It doesn't seem to work as well and because they've got bored and they've changed the script. When you ask them, are you doing what you did a year ago when it really worked? They say, well, now I wanted to change it. You see that with property investors who get bored. Your property investing is not meant to be exciting. If you want excitement, go bungee jumping, go trail bike riding. Your property investment is meant to be boring to make the rest of your life exciting. So basically, be the best at one thing, get good at one thing, do it over and over again. There are so many niches out there that there's no reason why you can't become the expert in it, is there, Mark?
No, there's not. And you know, if you create a winning product or a winning service, and then just simply fine-tune the most important parts of it. And so rather than trying to change what's happening in the business, you can scale your business by scaling yourself out of it. If you scale yourself out of it, then that'll give you more time to spend on the exciting things. Then you can spend less time in the business and more time bungee jumping if that's really what floats your boat.
Well, interestingly, only yesterday I was speaking to a client of Metropole who also happens to be a client of Business Accelerator Mastermind. He's an electrician and he's been in the business for 15 years and he's sick of it and he doesn't want to be on the tools anymore. And that's why he's suddenly joined you to be part of learning how to build a business, not a job. So he was looking at crypto. He was looking at stock market trading. He was looking at something for some excitement because there was no excitement in the business. But I bet you see this all the time too, where people have they've done it long enough and there's no fun getting up in the morning anymore.
Oh, we do, Michael. The best part for me is if I can catch people before they kind of fall off the edge of that cliff so that they can come at the stage where they're going, do you know what, I'm bored, I'm not getting any enjoyment out of this anymore, I want to give it away, or worse still, I want to go and open a coffee shop or something that they think is going to be far more exciting. We know how often those end in horrible failure. And so we can grab them at that stage and say, well, it's great. It's okay. Let's restructure what you do in your business so we can slowly slide you more and more out of it. And you start to work on the more important things. And once you start working on the business, it starts to become that little bit more exciting again. You start to get that enthusiasm back.
Well, you're working on different things. You're working on growing your business. You're working on growing your skills. You're actually building a business rather than having a job as this particular gentleman had. And so now that he's working with you, he's heading in the right direction, because that's going to give him the cash flow that he needs to be able to enjoy the life he wants and keep buying further properties as well.
Yep.
It also makes his business more valuable because it's not as dependent upon one particular person, him.
Yeah, 100%. So we talk about the concept of being able to scale up or scale out. So if you create scalability, you create saleability. You increase the value of your business, Michael.
Sure. I mean, if the business is dependent upon you, first of all, you've just got a job. But the second thing is, who's going to pay for it? Because if you're not there anymore, it's not going to be worth the same.
That's right.
So we're working through Tim Ferriss's great book, Tools of Titans, and a couple of the lessons that struck you. Share another one with us, please.
I like this one. It said that being in your own business doesn't have to be an all or nothing wager. So some of us, I think, are sort of born with entrepreneurial blood in our veins, but there's a big part of the population, Michael, that love the idea of getting into business, but they're just so afraid that they'll have to put everything on the line in order to do it. And the reality is you don't. There's nothing wrong with testing the market. There's nothing wrong with keeping a job and dipping your toe in the water and trying to see what will work before you throw yourself in fully. And so you and I just spoke before about how you actually need to take action. You need to take some risk, but you don't have to bet the whole farm on it, do you?
No, you don't, and probably you shouldn't. With regard to property investors, they do have a business. They have a business on the side, which is a property investment business, one without as many moving parts. But as you say, we see a lot of people who have got a job and they're wanting to do something different. And today, I believe with the internet, there's lots of opportunities. And the fact that you can operate many businesses from virtually anywhere in the world, there's lots of ways of starting a side gig and trying it out before you go all in.
Yeah, that's right. I think the important thing about that, well, there's probably two things. I mean, it's worth remembering that, you know, being successful about business and entrepreneurship and professional practice is probably 90% psychological. So there's lots of things you've got to do in the market. There's lots of different ways you've got to run the business, but you've got to have that winning mindset. You've got to be thinking correctly. And I think the other thing too is that as you start it as a bit of a side hustle, if you like, as long as you are still treating it like a business and not a hobby, then you have the opportunity to really test it, to fine tune it, and then get to the point where you're no longer just dipping your toe in the water, but you're actually diving in.
Sure. So you've got the security of your day job and the opportunity to do something on the side. One of the problems, Mark, is people are looking for something that they love. They're wanting to do something that gives them lots of fun and pleasure. Unfortunately, there's another element to it as well. You actually have to be able to provide a service that other people see value in and are prepared to pay. So not every great business idea actually makes money, does it?
No. You know, Michael, I love playing the drums quite badly, but I do love it. But you know what? No one's ever going to pay me to play the drums for a living. So I can have something that I have a passion at. That's my hobby. I mean, I'm lucky. I'm very lucky. I'm very passionate about what I do as a coach, and I love getting up and doing this every day of the week. So I'm very lucky. But you're right. It can't just be a passion that you've got. It has to be so much more than that. There has to be a product that people actually want to buy, and you have to have all the systems and structures and processes in place to be able to deliver it as well.
At a price that the market's prepared to pay as well. So there's no reason not to have a hobby, but if you can actually make a hobby into business, all the better. But most people actually aren't taught. You're not taught in life how to be a business person. You're not taught in life how to be an entrepreneur. And yes, you've got to have that entrepreneurial spirit in us, because some of us just like the security, the comfort of a job, and that's fine. Not everyone is going to be the boss. But it's actually a little bit too hard to do on your own also. And that's why I think it is important to get a team around you and get a coach and get mentors, because it's, I guess, impertinent to think that you can do it on your own when these other people have been there and they've seen the landmines and know where you shouldn't walk.
Yeah, exactly. The other thing too, Michael, is I'm always amazed at people in professional practice. So we get people in professional practice who are very, very good at what they do in their profession. But even though they might spend 5, 6, 7, 8 years at university, university doesn't teach them. It might teach them how to be a great doctor, a great lawyer, a great dentist, but it doesn't teach them how to be a great business person. And so I think it's one of the things that the really successful professionals that we work with understand, that, you know, being part of a group, being part of a tribe, getting a coach actually helps them to work on the business side of what they do as opposed to just the professional side.
That's interesting, because I know dealing with professionals who are used to giving out advice, whether they're health professionals, legal, accounting professionals, they often have difficulty sitting on the other side of the table and taking advice. And they think, well, I am a good lawyer. I am a good accountant. I don't need a business coach. But I know only yesterday we were talking about a particular client firm of ours that's actually grown in the number of staff they've got in their legal practice. But was it doubling their turnover and profit over the last couple of years?
Yeah, they have. Yeah, they've doubled their turnover, doubled their number of staff, and also, you know, reduced the amount of hours that the principals work in it as well.
Well, they're having fun, I know, because I was speaking with them about that. So that's great. So actually, before we get on to the other couple of lessons, I do want you to share with me, who is the typical client of Business Accelerator Mastermind? Who do you think you can help the most?
Well, I think anybody who's already successful in a service business or a professional practice, but really has a business or practice that relies on them. So in other words, they can't step out for 6 weeks and know that there's going to be as much, if not more, money in the bank when they get back as when they went away. People who, and we often talk about this, Michael, we have a mutual acquaintance from Darwin who rang me one day and said, oh, I'm going to change my name because I'm sick of everybody calling out John all day, because everything came back through him. So he had a very successful business making seven figures. But if he wasn't there, it just didn't work. So successful service business and professionals who want to build a business and not just a job, something they can actually step away from for an extended period of time.
Okay, I know the answer because I'm your business partner. But for somebody who doesn't know, how do you help them?
Well, what we do is we show them, first of all, is to understand what we call is their genius, Michael. So it's understanding what's the highest and best use of their time. Where can they most spend their time in order to get the highest possible return? And what we find is that most people in their own business or in professional practice are doing a whole bunch of sort of, you know, $3, $4, $5 jobs within the business that they shouldn't be doing. And it's amazing. Once we start getting them focused on their time, building the team around them, having the right team, what you would say, the right people sitting in the right bus, in the right seats on the bus, and setting targets that are actually achieved by that team and by them spending their time in the right areas. That's the problem. I mean, there's 9 accelerators we work on, but they're the first three steps that we take in order to scale their business up to the next level.
So they have one-on-one time with you, one-on-many times with the others in the tribe, and then collectively, if COVID allows, we get together 3 times a year for an intensive. If you want to find out more about this, go to metropolemastermind.com.au. There'll be a link in the show notes. And Mark, would you be happy to have a chat with somebody, anyone who's interested in seeing if you can help them?
Of course, I'd love to, Michael.
Sure. Well, we were working through Tim Ferriss's book, Tools of Titans, and you've gone through a number of the lessons. What else would you like to share with us?
Well, he spoke here about the fact that getting preferential treatment can come from being more assertive. And I kind of like what he said. I also disagree with the part of it. So I thought I'd include this one for that reason. So he talks about the difference between sort of, you know, being a nice person and being a doormat, and how it's important to have a certain level of assertiveness in and fighting for what you believe in terms of your business or your professional practice, and following through and standing by your principles. And by doing that, you'll actually get yourself further ahead. People will want to do business with you. Kind of gets back to the first lesson, I guess, that about surrounding yourself with right people. So if you have a level of assertiveness, then you'll get the right people around you. Probably what I didn't agree with, Michael, is he sort of took the view that business is a dog-eat-dog world, and so you have to learn to fend for yourself. And I'm not sure that's necessarily true. I think that business can be competitive. But we also know from the people in our mastermind tribe that there's an amazing level of support for each other. So I think dog eat dog is really if you're surrounding yourself with the wrong people, not the right ones.
You took the words out of my mouth. If that's the way you think, they're the sort of people you're going to deal with, it's not a nice way to go through life, is it?
No. So for me, it's not about being, you know, the biggest dog in the yard. It's not about being aggressive. It's just about being clear about what it is that you want to achieve. And, you know, Michael, you know, that's one of the first things that we talk to our mastermind clients about is What do you want to achieve? And now let's create a plan and a very clear roadmap, what we call a game plan, to actually help you get there. And we want them to be assertive because by being assertive, we know that they're going to push forward and do whatever it takes to actually achieve those outcomes.
Well, do whatever it takes legally, ethically, morally, correctly, not at any cost. So I think you actually have to show respect to others and do it with integrity, Mark.
Oh, absolutely. That's the cornerstone of how we work, Michael.
Now, interestingly, one of his lessons that he was sharing to help us and his readers become more successful was his feeling about fear, that fear is a good thing. It's a protective thing.
Yeah, he says he makes this great observation. He says that what we fear doing most is usually what we most need to do.
And it is right.
Yeah, it is right, isn't it? And in some ways, Michael, it's one of those things where you read that and you go, I don't really want to admit that that's right, but I know that it is right. And when my clients say that they're nervous or they're afraid, my response is always, I'd be worried if they weren't.
Mm-hmm.
So it's because then they've got this, you know, laissez-faire or blasé approach to things, and we know how dangerous that can be. So fear is actually what keeps you focused, keeps you motivated, and for that reason, it is actually a good thing.
Well, all the good stuff is just outside your comfort zone. If you remain in your comfort zone the whole time, which I guess means no fear, you're not going to get the goodies.
Yeah, and I think the more you push yourself into that uncomfortable zone or into those fearful situations, the more progress you're actually going to make towards your goal. And then what happens, Michael, as you start to work toward those goals, you become less and less fearful of that aspect, and so you start to push on a little bit further. And I guess it's a little bit like it's like the layers of an onion, but rather than, you know, peeling away, it's like they're being added. The more closer you get to the goals, the more you face the fear, the less afraid you become of that process, and so you keep progressing.
I think it's important to remember that we all have fears. Successful people have fears. They use the fear to drive them rather than scare them off. Fear is a protective mechanism to stop you getting hurt, but it also keeps you, as I said a moment ago, in your comfort zone, so it stops you progressing.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, Michael, you and I often joke about quotes of my father. You know, my dad's been gone for 27 years now, but I still quote him regularly, to the point where I think sometimes you say, I'm not really sure if your dad actually said all these things. But my dad used to say that, you know, fear knocked, faith answered, and there was no one there. And so I think that if you've got this fear, but you develop around you the tools to be able to have the faith and confidence that you're going to overcome it, then that's exactly what will happen, Michael.
Well, I think it was Star Trek when I was a young kid. I used to watch it, and they used to move boldly forward where no one had been before. I like that concept. That's what creates winners. You take risks, but you take calculated risks, but you move forward. Okay, one last lesson from Tim Ferriss, please, Mike.
And a good one to wrap it up on, I think, and that is that success is actually way more possible than you think. What he actually says is that it's as possible as your wildest dreams may have suggested. So everybody's got these wild dreams, but most of us think they aren't achievable. And, you know, Michael, I love watching small kids. You and I both have grandchildren. And I love watching when you talk to them about, you know, what do they want to be when they grow up? And they'll say things like, you know, an astronaut or, you know, live on Mars, or there's just no limits to what they think. But I think as we get older, we start to develop things in our mind that say, well, that might be an aim, but it's not possible. And we get all these negative thought, this sort of negative self-talk that comes into the process. So I think if you can keep in mind that success is possible, and you did this great thing yesterday. You were talking to me about somebody you were speaking to, and they were having that doubt. I don't know if I can be successful in this industry to this level. And your answer was, has anybody else done it? And when they said they had, then there was the proof. There was social proof. If somebody else can do it, you can do it. You've just got to believe that you can, get the right people around you, have process and structures. But I think that understanding that success is probably more available to you than you're letting yourself think it is a really valuable lesson.
Well, when you look at some of the role models people have, Richard Branson, Elon Musk, they both believe you can actually fly to Mars, I think it is, or get a space station. And other people are scared of going into the next suburb. So really what you've got to do is see what is possible and dream big. Because if you have a dream for your business or your professional practice or your life or your relationships or your property investment, it all starts with a dream. It all starts with an idea. And then you've got to make a plan of where you are now, where you want to get to, and what you have to do to get there. But if you don't have that big dream, you're not going to get there. And even if you only get 80% of the way there, you're still going to be further than if you don't get started.
Well, you're going to be further than the vast majority of the population. It doesn't mean that becoming wildly successful as a business person or professional or entrepreneur, property investor in life, it doesn't mean it's easy, but it does mean that it's more possible than you might think. And Michael, I very clearly remember when Richard Branson first started talking about having a plane that would fly outside of the Earth's atmosphere and all of the naysayers, all of the people that just called him a dreamer. And yet I watched the footage of him doing it just this week or last week of actually achieving that goal.
Amazing, isn't it? But I guess having that dream, you've also got to accept the fact that it won't all go right straight away. And this is where the fear has to go away, the fear of failure. People are worried about failure, what others are going to say, or I'm not good enough. Learn from things. Learn from when defeats happen. In fact, if you're not encountering failures, defeats, stumbles along the way, I just believe you're not trying hard enough. But you've got to absolutely refuse to accept less than your best, which means you have to set yourself audacious goals. That's how you become successful, Mark.
Yeah, it is, Michael. And people like Richard Branson are a great example of that. I mean, if you read any of Branson's biographies and autobiographies, that he's probably had more failures than he's had successes. You and I have both had failures. Actually, have I ever told you about the time I flew with Richard Branson?
No.
Yeah, he and I took a flight together. He was in row 2. I was in row 32. yeah. It was nice to see him on the plane still. Mm. So, I mean, if you read Branson's material, there's been lots of failures along the way, but it's the old, you know, not how many times you get knocked down, but how many times you get up that counts. And I think that's very true in the world of business and entrepreneurship.
Well, thank you. You've saved me reading 707 pages of an epic book from Tim Ferriss. I occasionally listen to his podcast, not as much as I used to, so maybe it's inspired me to do that again. And I enjoy listening to our podcast once a month, these Build a Business, Not a Job podcasts. So, Mark, if people want to find out more about how you can help them set audacious goals and then implement them, they should go to metropolemastermind.com.au, find out about what's going on. And if nothing else, just at least subscribe to your newsletter, which is different to the one on Property Update, where they can actually just get some tips about business from you each week. And I look forward to catching up with you again in a month's time.
Yeah, looking forward to it, Mike. It's always fun.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, I hope you got some tips from my chat with Mark Creedon about Tim Ferriss's book, The Tools of Titans. Now, while the Michael Yardney podcast is focused on property investment success and money, once a month I have a chat with Mark in our Build a Business, Not a Job podcast. And as you can see, it's actually relevant for all people, for people in all walks of life, not just in business. I guess that's one of the reasons it's one of the most popular of my monthly podcasts. I can see that in the downloads. Now, if you've got some benefit from it and you know somebody else who would, please help us in our quest to make more Australians successful in business, in their life, in investment, financially fluent. Tell them about the Michael Yardney podcast, or why not tell the world by leaving a review wherever you listen to this podcast. Now, I'll be back with the regular Michael Yardney podcast again real soon, but you can catch me in between these sessions on social media. Just look for Michael Yardney. I'm in most of the social media platforms, and once a day I leave something in my private Facebook group. Go to the Property Update Facebook group, join me, and each day you're going to get a tip, a hint, something special that's going to help you in your life. By the way, as my way of saying thank you for listening to this podcast, if you haven't already downloaded it, why not get my bundle of ebooks and reports? Go to podcastbonus.com.au. I'll leave a link in the show notes, and I'm happy to gift you a bundle of books and reports. I'll be back again real soon. In the meantime, have a great week. Make it a great week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Michael Yardney podcast, which was brought to you by Metropole, who help their clients grow, protect, and pass on their wealth through strategic property and wealth advice. If you like what you heard and don't already subscribe, you'll find us on iTunes or on your favorite Android app as the Michael Yardney podcast. Watch out for our next show, which comes to you twice a week, and you'll learn some new ideas about property investment, success, and money in around 30 minutes. To get more of Michael's thoughts, go across to www.propertyupdate.com.au and sign up for his daily morning briefing, and you'll hear from not only Michael, but a group of leading property success and money experts. And just a reminder that the information you heard in this show today is general educational advice and not specific investment advice, as we don't know your personal circumstances. If you're looking for specific advice, why not ask the team at Metropole to help you?